There are two themes that I want to concentrate on today from this passage. First is the theme of suffering. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, he will face increasing opposition from the Israelite leadership, which for a number of reasons seems to have lost its true purpose. Then he will face opposition from the Roman Empire directly in his encounter with Pontius Pilate, the emperor's servant. Therefore, Jesus will die on Good Friday, but he will die not merely as a victim of the powerful interests defending themselves against him, but as a result of his own choices. Jesus grasps his destiny, which is to die for us. His suffering obviously speaks into our world, not just at the moment, but always, for suffering is the dark side of human life. Today we remember all who are sick with the coronavirus and their loved ones who often have the added suffering of not being able to be present with their sick and their dying. In fact, one of the terrible features of this virus is to force on us all an anti-human behavior by which we treat even those closest to us as dangerous. In addition, the virus exacerbates the suffering of the poor. In my own country, South Africa, the poor make up the bulk of the population, with many living in terribly overcrowded conditions, which make any form of social distancing pretty well impossible. And this will be the case in all developing countries too. The poor also suffered most in Jesus' day, which is why he told so many parables about wealth and poverty. The burden of suffering has always fallen on the poor, and we need to remember them especially today, because they are more vulnerable in the current crisis than the well-off. We come now to the second focus, which is the focus actually of the passage, and that is joy and hope for the future, an important message for us to hold on to right now as we face a rather uncertain future. Jesus deliberately imitates, as he enters Jerusalem, he imitates a Roman emperor entering a city he has just conquered. The emperor would enter on a horse, signifying the power of military conquest. And the point of the imitation is twofold. Firstly, Jesus deliberately sets himself against the Roman emperor to announce that the world has a new ruler. But secondly, he imitates by being different. Jesus enters on a donkey, the animal of humility, indicating that he will rule differently, by self-sacrifice rather than by domination and control. Two centuries after Jesus, the world still rejects Jesus' way of exercising power. As human beings, we prefer control and domination to self-sacrifice, which is why, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, the powers that be gather themselves to murder him because he stands for a different way of being human. As we enter Holy Week, we should search our own hearts to repent of the impulse to control and dominate, which is fundamental to our sinful natures. Although leaders in all fields, including all too frequently the church, continue to lead by domination and control so that violence and conflict remain central to our lives, history has constantly thrown up exceptional people who have imitated Jesus' way, and so remain our inspirations and show us that Jesus' way is not pie in the sky till you die at all, but powerfully effective. I'm thinking of the Nelson Mandelas, the Mahatma Gandhis, and the Martin Luther Kings of our own time, people who have made a huge difference to society and to human life, and who are beacons of light. But the ancient world had such people as well. King Cyrus of Persia, for example, was a Jesus-type ruler, which is why Yahweh used him, even though he was a pagan king. Cyrus, remember, was the king who allowed the Judean exiles to return in order to rebuild their country, shattered by the Babylonians. Cyrus ruled a huge, far-flung empire filled with different nationalities, different religions, and different cultures. And it seems he sought to respect and encourage native forms of life, rather than force everyone into a Persian mold, the more typical approach of powerful rulers. And so he illustrated the Jesus approach to power. Suffering, then, in the gospel doesn't have the final word. God in Christ entered into our experience of suffering in order to show us the way to a new world characterized by self-sacrificial service and love for one another. It is one of the perhaps ironic consequences of this virus to have brought to new life something like Jesus' way of loving self-sacrifice in the service of others as people rush to help one another and to support one another in this crisis. And although it is awful that we cannot meet in the flesh to hug, to kiss, and to be with those we love, society has been brought together into a oneness of mind and purpose, which hopefully may bring some healing into the divisiveness of our political life over the past decade or so. Because God is with us, hope is never buried. May the hope brought by Jesus' presence with us flourish as our society bends its mind to overcoming this virus and rebuilding social life.